We will talk with Wisconsin Public Radio reporters from around the state to recap last week's state legislative primary elections, and we'll look ahead to the hotly contested legislative and congressional races in the fall. And we'll welcome your questions and your own reports on the races that are important to you. Are you hoping your current legislator stays in office? Or do you want a change, and why? What about the open seats where you have a choice between a Democratic or Republican state representative or state senator? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock. On this Monday, August 20th, and this is a special roundup edition of our state capitol report. Sean Johnson, our state government reporter, is taking a vacation this week, but we are happy to have with us six of our Wisconsin Public Radio reporters from our bureaus around the state who will tell us which races they're covering and which ones are going to be important when it comes to political power in the state legislature. And again, we will welcome your input too. Well, let's get started. Let me welcome first Glenn Moberg, who is Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Wausau. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, Joy. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I hope you are too. Well, let's talk about the state senate district the 12th state senate district, Glenn. That's important when it comes to the control of the state legislature, isn't it?
Yeah, and if I could preface my remarks just a bit, Joy, by mentioning redistricting, it promises to play a big part in the 12th Senate District, but also in a lot of the state and federal elections up north.
Mm-hmm.
You can point to the congressional districts here. The 7th Congressional District is now more Republican. They took Stevens Point out of that district despite its long history of association with Wausau and the Wisconsin River, which may make it easier for freshman Republican Sean Duffy to keep the seat that Democrat Dave Olby held for 41 years. It also makes the 3rd Congressional District more Democratic, which will make it more likely that Ron Kind will win re-election. The boundaries have also been redrawn in the 29th District. They took Park Falls, a Democratic area, out of it, making that district more Republican. Now, that's not on the agenda for November because Republican Jerry Petruski just won a recall election there. So the new lines favor him, but they also favor the Republicans in the 12th Senate District. As you mentioned, it is significant. The 12th District is viewed as Republicans' best shot at taking back control of the Senate. The listeners who aren't familiar with it, this is a huge district. It extends across much of northeastern Wisconsin. The heaviest population base is in Lincoln County. And the district has always leaned Republican. If you look at how people vote in the presidential and gubernatorial elections, but it's been represented by a Democrat in the state Senate for the past 30 years, first by Roger Bresky and now by Jim Holprin.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them moderate Democrats. They're good retail politicians. Bresky was the head of the Tavern League for many years. Holprin was endorsed by the National Rifle Association. But redistricting is making it look like a pretty good bet for the Republicans, and that could switch the state Senate back to Republican control.
And Jim Holprin said he's not going to run again, so who's going to be running?
Well, Tom Tiffany is a Republican assemblyman from Hazelhurst. Now, he ran unopposed in the primary. He's pretty well known in the district. He runs a riverboat excursion business. He's a member of the Minocqua, Tomahawk, and Rhinelander Chambers of Commerce. He's in the NRA and the Tavern League. One of the big advocates for the overhaul of mining regulations and the proposed iron mine in the Pinoki Hills near Lake Superior, which is not in the 12th Senate District, but Tiffany thought it would help employment throughout the entire North Woods. He's also been harshly critical of the DNR, and just recently he proposed moving the agency's forestry headquarters to the North Woods. And traditionally, there are a lot of sportsmen, a lot of outdoorsmen who have kind of a, well, I don't know if you can even call it a love-hate relationship with the DNR, but criticizing the DNR does not lose you votes in the North Woods.
Yeah. And then there was a Democratic primary last week to see who would face Tom Tiffany.
Right. He's going to be facing, as it turns out, Susan Summer, who's a practicing attorney. She's a former prosecutor from Phelps, a Habitat for Humanity supervisor. She says she's running because of the political turmoil surrounding Governor Walker's administration, and she says the way it has divided people in the district. It was an interesting primary race. She defeated the person who most people thought was going to win that primary, Lisa Thiel, who's a Tomahawk resident and a UWSP geology professor. She got most of the endorsements from Democratic-leaning labor groups, but Summer pulled it off. She challenges the prevailing wisdom that Tiffany is going to win. She says he can be beat. She has made a charge that his support for the overhaul of mining laws is an attempt to open the Northwoods up to other mines, in addition to that one in the Pinoki Hills. She says he wants to weaken environmental laws, and she's also criticized Governor Walker for not setting up the health care exchanges mandated by President Obama's Affordable Care Act. She also favors restoring collective bargaining rights to public workers and wants to push for clean energy jobs in the district. And there's also a libertarian candidate in the race. Paul Ehlers is a former music store owner from Rhinelander and a teacher at Nicolet College. But, you know, the thing is, the redistricting makes it look like a pretty good bet for the Republicans. Holtgren surprised a lot of people when he announced that he wouldn't run again, even though he won a recall election only a few months earlier.
Right.
And he won it by a pretty significant margin. He did an interview a few weeks ago, and he pointed to two things. He pointed to the partisanship in Madison and also redistricting. They cut out some of Jim's strongholds, most notably the Lac du Flambeau Reservation, where he's very well known. And he would have had to go out and campaign in Oconto County, where people don't know him. So it's played a significant role in that district and in some of the other districts in North Central Wisconsin.
And that is going to be a critical Senate district when it comes to the political control of the state Senate. Democrats just have remind me, Glenn, is it just a one-person lead right now in terms of political control?
Yeah, it's razor thin.
Yeah, so you are also following a couple of other assembly districts. I have here the 85th and the 86th. What's up there?
Well, once again, we've got redistricting that has redrawn the lines. The Wausau-based 85th Assembly District, and then there's the adjacent 86th District. Democrats are saying the lines have been gerrymandered. The 86th now starts in the area south of Wausau, stretches all the way to Marshfield, where that city is literally cut in half by the new map, and then it does a horseshoe up to Wausau's northern border. So people who live just north of Wausau, and I'm one of them, we work in, we identify with that city. Just to give you a personal take on this, I've always voted in the Wausau-based 85th District. I work there. My wife owns a retail store in downtown Wausau. My kids go to school in Wausau. I'm a member of the Wausau Rotary Club. I go to church in Wausau. But now, I no longer vote for the Wausau-based representative. I'm lumped in with Marshfield, which is more than an hour away, and it's an area that I've got nothing in common with, and the people north of Wausau have very little in common with Marshfield. So this, again, has made the 86th more Republican, and some would say it's made the 85th more Democratic. And again, this is creating safe districts for incumbents. But having said that, the 85th may be interesting. The seat is open right now because Assistant Minority Leader Donna Seidel, the incumbent, she ran and lost in the recall election.
Right.
So we've got a three-way race there now. And the Republicans have a strong candidate. Pat Snyder is a conservative talk show host on WSAU Radio. This is a station that also broadcasts Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity.
Mm-hmm.
He's running as a Republican. He's well-known and certainly well-liked by the Republican base. He's facing Mandy Wright, who's a sixth-grade school teacher with no political experience, who won a primary against Jeff Johnson, the head of the Marathon County Democratic Party and a local union leader. A lot of people like Mandy, you know, and because Wausau is kind of a Democratic district now, it may be an interesting race. And there's a wild card in the race, too. Libertarian Jim Moss has run before. He's pretty well known in the district. He agrees with many of Pat Snyder's economic positions and many of Mandy Wright's social positions. So we're not exactly sure what role he will play as the votes are counted in November.
Well, we thank you for being with us, Glenn, and I know you'll be covering these races and more for us here on Wisconsin.
Let me mention very quickly the 86 race.
Okay, okay.
You've got a city councilman from Marshfield, Republican John Spiros, who didn't even live in the district until it was redrawn, and he's running against a retired Wausau area police officer, Democrat Dennis Halkowski, a detective sergeant, retired with the D.C. Everest Police Department. So when you get a Democrat with law and order credentials, that always adds something to his candidacy, and we may be seeing an interesting race in that district as well.
And I certainly didn't mean to rush you, Glenn. Glenn, what would you say to somebody who says, you know, I don't follow these legislative races. It doesn't really matter to me who's in there. In terms of why it matters, which party has political control of the state legislature?
Well, it matters because it affects how things are going to be determined in the state. For instance, the way the lines were redrawn, that couldn't have happened except you had one party control. You had a Republican governor and Republican control of the Assembly and the state Senate. Now, Democrats could have changed this system a few years ago when they had control of all three branches, but they didn't. And so we've got the redistricting map that we've got. It also affects things like the collective bargaining law that was passed, taking collective bargaining powers away from public workers. It affects tax policy. It affects things like whether the high-speed rail system was built between Madison and Milwaukee. It affects a whole host of things, particularly when you've got one-party control.
Right, and in northern Wisconsin, well, for all of Wisconsin, for that matter, that that mine is a big issue, and that is going to be the 12th Senate District is going to be one of the determining races when it comes to who has control.
That's right, and you know, the mine, the environmental regulations, the role of the DNR, the wolf hunt. There are a lot of things decided on a statewide level, and if people care about how they live and how they work in the state of Wisconsin, you could argue that they probably should be voting and should be paying attention to these Senate and Assembly races.
Glenn, thanks a lot for being with us.
All right, thank you, Joy.
Glenn Mulberg, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Wausau. We will talk with our reporter based in Green Bay, Patty Murray, in just a moment. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's going to be a sunny, mild day today. We can expect high temperatures statewide in the low to mid-70s. We are jumping around the state, talking to our Wisconsin Public Radio reporters about some of the interesting legislative and congressional primary elections that took place last week, and looking ahead to some of the hotly contested races for November. Let's welcome in now Patty Murray, who is Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Green Bay. Good morning, Patty.
Morning.
You were following the 90th Assembly District. What can you tell us about that one?
Well, I chose to talk about that one this morning because it really does seem like it might be one that could swing from Republican to Democrat. And that's because the incumbent, Republican Carl Van Roy, is retiring, so it's an open seat. And in last week's primary, the Republican candidate is one who was recently ticketed for drunk driving.
Uh-oh.
And who has also, and who also had previous kind of run-ins with the law of some disorderly conducts, domestic abuse-type situations.
And
his name is David Vanderleest.
What did he run for before?
He's kind of been a perennial candidate in Green Bay. And You might remember his name because he led the recall effort against Democratic State Senator Dave Hansen from Green Bay.
I do. That okay, that's last. Where it is. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And he had, like, reported a supposed break-in to the local Republican Party headquarters. And apparently he's being investigated by the Government Accountability Board. And it's interesting because it seems like the Republican establishment, you know, has tried to distance. It'll be interesting to see how they respond to this because it seems they've been trying to distance themselves from Vanderleest. Carl Van Roy actually endorsed the other guy running in last week's primary, but Vanderleest pulled out a win.
So Vanderleest will be facing who?
Eric Genrich is the Democrat. And it kind of says something about the campaign that I can't tell you a whole lot about Eric Genrich, except he's the Democrat, and it seems like he's going to have a lot of ammunition to go into this with.
Mm-hmm. And what about the 8th Congressional District, Patty, where the incumbent Reed Ribble is in Congress for us? Is there going to be much of a challenge in the fall to him?
Well, I think he does face a pretty strong candidate in Jamie Wall, who is a Rhodes Scholar and a kind of local business consultant. And Wall has run before. He ran in 06 but lost out to Steve Kagan, the Democrat who eventually won the 8th District and held it for two terms, which, you know, they always say the 8th District, it's the reliable GOP stronghold, but, you know, not so much anymore. It seems to me that it kind of follows national politics, kind of the way the winds are blowing nationally. That might be the way that the 8th District goes because, as we all know, Reed Ribble kind of rode in on that Tea Party wave in 2010, and so now he's got to defend his record and run as the incumbent, not the outsider.
All right, Patty, anything else from your region in Green Bay?
Well, I mean, just a few points of interest that the campaign does seem to be starting to heat up there in the 8th District with Ribble accusing of Wall's campaign of stalking him with those trackers, people who follow candidates around with webcams trying to catch them in a gaffe of some sort.
Uh-huh.
But apparently these aren't just happening at public events and, you know, he's kind of being followed around town. And Wall might have a problem in that his campaign director was ticketed for violating some city ordinances in Racine that was outside of a fundraiser that included Paul Ryan and some other high-profile Republicans.
Well, it'll be interesting to follow that one, too. Thanks very much for being with us, Patty.
You're welcome.
Patty Murray, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Green Bay. Now we travel to western Wisconsin. We welcome in Rich Kramer, who is Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Eau Claire. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So what you are following the 91st, 92nd, and 93rd Assembly districts.
Right. Well, we're actually following nine races total. One state senate, that's Sheila Harsdorf, and then a bunch of assemblies. But the race to watch, I think, and we all here at the Western Wisconsin studios think, is the race in the 93rd Assembly District between Jeff Smith and Warren Petrick. Jeff Smith was born in Eau Claire. He was the owner of a small window washing business. And he says that Republican leadership is out of touch. And he even on his website wrote that the legislature has long since abandoned principles of honesty and fairness. He's facing incumbent Warren Petrick, Republican, born in Eau Claire. He worked as community relations officer, mm-hmm, for the United Way, or the United Cerebral Palsy Group. And he's also a musician. He's got affiliations with the National Rifle Association, the Eau Claire Rod and Gun Club, numerous outdoor conservation groups and hunting groups. But this is a rematch, basically, of the 2010 race in which Petrick beat Jeff Smith to take the 93rd. And that race in 2010 was extremely close. It was decided by 71 votes. And now, with the new maps, it'll be interesting to see how safe Petrick is. He definitely is a little bit more, a little safer now, but still, it's, if there is one competitive race in my listening area, it's going to be the 93rd.
We will watch for that one. But and what about the 91st or 92nd?
Those two are interesting because there's really no race. The Republican Party did not run any candidate in the 91st or 92nd, and that has almost everything to do with redistricting. What happened with the districts, the 91st and the 92nd were side-by-side south of Eau Claire, kind of in the Trempealeau County, Buffalo County area. And the people in the 91st, we had Dano was in the 91st, excuse me, Chris Dano. He's a Democrat from Trempealeau. And Mark Radcliffe was the 92nd incumbent in the 92nd Assembly District. Well, what the Republicans did is they moved the 91st District. They wrote Chris Dano out of his district and included the city of Eau Claire now comprises the 91st District. So in the 91st, there is a... He's a Democratic city councilor, basically. Dana Walks is running unopposed. And in the 92nd, that left Chris Dano and Mark Radcliffe, two Democrats, colleagues, to run against each other. And Mark Radcliffe filed for non-candidacy. So it's going to be Chris Dano running unopposed in the 91st, in the 92nd. And in 91st is Dana Walks.
So with no Republican challengers.
And I called, I called the Republican, the local Eau Claire County Republican office, Republican Party person, and they said that they did try. There were some people mulling over a run on the Republican side of the ticket, but the city of Eau Claire is such a safe district for Democrats.
Got it. Rich Kramer from Eau Claire, thanks for being with us. We'll talk to more reporters after the news. We are talking with our Wisconsin Public Radio reporters from around the state, recapping the outcome of last week's significant legislative primaries and looking ahead to the hotly contested legislative and congressional races in November. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 7:37 on this Monday, August 20th. Our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, is taking a much-deserved vacation this week, but we are talking with our regional reporters based in our bureaus around Wisconsin. We've already heard from Glenn Moberg in Wausau, from Patty Murray in Green Bay, from Rich Kramer in Eau Claire. Now we welcome in Chuck Quirnbach, who is Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Milwaukee. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning.
So let's talk first about the first congressional district, Chuck. That is Congressman Paul Ryan's district, now vice presidential candidate Paul Ryan's district. What does that do, if anything, to the election?
Well, it could be a very interesting race. I'm sort of referring to it as Democrat Rob Zerban versus empty chair. Rob Zerban is a Kenosha County supervisor and an entrepreneur out of the Kenosha area. He is the Democrat running in the first, and he was considered a bit of a long shot to try to defeat Congressman Ryan if Ryan had just sort of been in normal reelection mode. But now that Ryan is on the vice presidential ticket and has said correctly that he can't remove his name as first congressional candidate, Ryan is running for both vice president and first congressional. Ryan's campaign has said, listen, the voters know Ryan in the first district for many town hall meetings, advertisements, other legislation and so on. So Ryan the amount that he will campaign, it remains to be seen, but he is the candidate for the Republicans in the first.
Yeah. And It could, because he does not campaign, give the Democratic candidate a bit of an advantage?
Well, there's more enthusiasm, put it that way, for the Democrats. It'd be really interesting if Ryan did show up at a forum or a debate between the two, but that would be well covered. But, most political analysts say it's still Ryan's seat to lose, so to speak. But, again, this is a first for all of us, right, having a vice presidential candidate from Wisconsin. How that plays out, it'll just makes the race more interesting to see how Zerban campaigns against Ryan, who is likely not to campaign too much in the first.
I know you are also watching for us, among other races, the 22nd Senate District. This is State Senator Bob Wirch's district, or at least new district?
Yeah, it's been redistricted down there, so how close it'll be for Senator Wirch, it remains to be seen, but in the past it's been competitive down there as Wirch has won re-election. This time his candidate opposing him, a Republican, is Pam Stevens, a real estate manager and Kenosha school board member, has a picture on her website of her with Governor Walker. So the redistricting will be an interesting factor as to whether this seat is more Democratic now because it's more urban than it was before, but it's at least one to watch as Senator Wirch, as I say, has a tradition of Republican challengers that have come mildly close, and of course his first full election challenge since the Wisconsin 14 issue.
He actually, according to reports, has to move from his present home in Pleasant Prairie in order to represent this district?
Right. Not uncommon these days for the state lawmakers to have to do a little moving to keep representing folks in the legislature due to the redistricting plan that basically the Republicans drew up.
Mm-hmm. And you are also watching for us the 18th Senate District. Tell us who's running there.
Yes, we, for the purposes of this broadcast, we have declared Spondulac to be part of southeastern Wisconsin.
Why not?
Happy to have it. And it's the incumbent there, Jessica King, winning the recall race last year against incumbent Randy Hopper. She is being targeted now by Republicans. The Republican candidate is Rick Gudex, a business manager and president of Fond du Lac City Council. And as I say, it will be a targeted race because the Republicans think that's more Republican territory than it is truly Democratic. And as the battle for the state Senate control ramps up again, mm-hmm. King will be targeted by the Gudex folks.
Anything else from the broadened southeastern Wisconsin region, Chuck?
Well, just there's an upcoming state Senate primary on the Republican side that's sort of interesting because Rich Zipperer has gone on to the Walker administration, I believe. Two Republican candidates, Paul Farrow and Chris Kapenga, both state representatives, and sometimes the Republicans sort of say, here's what's going to happen, and the election is a foregone conclusion. But this time, two Republicans are going to take on each other for that Senate seat, and that's coming up. It'll be interesting to see how that breaks down.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Chuck, for being with us.
Okay.
Chuck Quirnbach, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Milwaukee. Well, two more stops to go. We will be talking to a reporter in La Crosse and a reporter in Superior. And you know, you can talk about these issues too. Is there a particular race in your region that you are following? Is it important to you whether Republicans or Democrats have control of either or both houses of our state legislature? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is our state capitol report, and our next reporter is Maureen McCollum, who is WPR's reporter based in La Crosse. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks a lot for joining us. So let's talk first about the 3rd Congressional District. Glenn Moberg in Wausau was earlier talking about how redistricting has changed the political makeup or the demographics, political demographics of certain districts, including the 3rd. He hinted that it was perhaps a little more Democratic now. Is that your read?
Yeah, it's leaned Democratic for years. I mean, Ron Kind, the Democratic incumbent, has held the seat since 1996. But with redistricting, the 3rd Congressional District has Stevens Point, Wisconsin Rapids, and Chippewa Falls, three cities that have leaned Democratic at the polls in past previous years. So we'll see what happens in November, but it does make it a little stronger for the Democrats.
Mm-hmm. What about what are some of the legislative races you're following? The 32nd Senate District I have here. Let's talk about that, since the control of the state Senate is so critical and close right now.
Well, the 32nd State Senate District, currently the seat's held by Democrat Jennifer Schilling of La Crosse. And she beat out Republican Dan Kopanky in last year's recall elections. This year, she's facing Republican Bill Feehan of La Crosse. He's the former chair of the La Crosse County Republican Party, former La Crosse County Board Supervisor, and I predict it's going to become quite the heated race. There's already special interest groups getting involved saying that Senator Schilling is a threat to the Walker administration. So
talk some about what are the issues that are going to be, is it going to be collective bargaining type things?
I don't know if as much collective bargaining. It seems like people from this area have sort of moved on from that. I mean, not moved on necessarily, but I mean, like most lawmakers, people are touting jobs as one of the top issues. Senator Schilling's touting her experience in the legislature on the Committee of Economic Development. She works pretty closely with the area's technical colleges, Western Technical College here in the La Crosse area. And she's also a member of the legislature's Joint Committee on Finance. Feehan, on the other hand, talks about his experience as a small business owner. He and his wife owns a salon and a beauty school in the La Crosse area, and he's worked for Unilever for many years. So I predict that they'll be talking jobs, jobs, jobs up until November.
Yeah, that makes sense. But the ads that say that Jennifer Schilling is a threat to the Walker administration are saying she's anti-jobs?
Not as much anti-jobs. It's more, I mean, it mostly comes through emails. I haven't yet seen any television commercials yet, but people trying to raise money for the Feehan campaign and also for the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm. Any other races that you're following for us?
The State Assembly District race, which is basically the suburbs of La Crosse, that could be a pretty interesting one. The seat now is held by Democratic incumbent Steve Doyle, who's an attorney in La Crosse area, and he's served on the La Crosse County Board for many, many years. He is facing a Republican challenger, Bruce Evers, who's a business owner and a financial planner. It could become a pretty heated race, both, you know, very cordial people, so we'll see how nasty it gets, if it's even going to get like that. There's also the 96th Assembly District race, which that seat's been held by Lee Neerison of Westby, who's a Republican, and he's being challenged by Tom Johnson, also of the area. So I haven't heard as much about that race, but we'll just have to see.
We will, and we will be in touch. Thanks, Maureen.
All right, thank you, Joy.
Maureen McCollum, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in La Crosse. This is a roundup edition of our State Capitol Report. We are talking with our reporters based in our bureaus around Wisconsin about the hot races this fall, legislative and congressional. We welcome your questions and your own reports on the races that are important to you as well. Do you hope that your incumbent legislator stays in office, or do you want a change, and why? How about the open seats where you have a choice between new candidates, a Democrat or a Republican, a state representative or state senator? Which way are you leaning and why? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking our weather forecast for today, it is going to be mostly sunny and mild. We can expect high temperatures in the low to mid-70s. Tonight, foggy and cool with lows in the 40s and 50s. Tomorrow, sunny and mild with highs around 80. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you stay tuned and hoping you join us as well after 8 o'clock. We will be talking about political gaffes. Vice President Joe Biden made a big political gaffe last week. Well, he made more than one, but he told an African-American crowd that they would be put back in chains under candidate Mitt Romney's economic plan. And we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about the significance of political gaffes coming up after 8 o'clock this morning. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with reporters all over the state of Wisconsin, Wisconsin Public Radio reporters, about the hot legislative and congressional races on the ballot this fall, following last week's primaries. And now joining us is Mike Simonson, who is Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Superior. Good morning, Mike.
Morning, Joy. I told Cynthia you can call me Sean if you're having withdrawals.
Sean's on vacation this week. Yes, he gets to take some time off every once in a while. But no, we're getting a lot of good reports from everybody around the state. Let's talk with you about the 7th Congressional District. That's where the incumbent Sean Duffy is representing you now. And does he have a challenger, a tough challenger for the fall?
Well, I haven't seen any polls. Pat Kreitlow is a former state senator from Chippewa Falls and is running an energetic campaign. He's probably going to have to overcome some name identification problems in the northern part of the district. In his former state senate district, again around Chippewa Falls, I don't think that's a problem. But he's showing a lot of energy and, you know, is really attacking the issues. I haven't seen him attacking Duffy personally, and Duffy is going after the issues too. A lot of talking points for Republicans and Democrats that both are doing, but you know, Duffy is energy. Wherever he goes, he's a bundle of energy. When he announced he's kicking off his campaign in Superior, he brought his wife and six young children along, as he has in the past, and referred to his lumberjack competition days and in Hayward and all that kind of stuff.
Now, redistricting, according to Glenn Moberg in Wausau, who we spoke to earlier in the state capitol report, he said that the redistricting was going to make it a little bit more of a Republican district than perhaps in the past, making it perhaps easier for Sean Duffy to retain the seat. Do you go along with that?
Well, it's possible. The district's got a really weird shape where it dips down even farther to the south. But it's a really interesting district. It's massive, 26 counties, and, you know, from the Eau Claire area to Wausau and up to Superior. You know, it's got a Great Lakes port, and it's agriculture and possibility of a mine. And, you know, it's really diverse, and it was, you know, held by Dave Obey for 40-plus years. But before that, it was held by a Republican, Alvin Okonski, for parts of three decades. And before that, it was held by Barney Gehrman, who was a progressive. So it was kind of like when Wisconsin was very progressive in the 30s. That's who they elected. When they were very Republican in the 40s and 50s, that's who they elected. And then Democratic since 1970.
Mm-hmm. So what do you expect to be the top congressional issues in the campaign?
Well, I think it's going to be ironic because Sean Duffy ran to say that he was going to be with the House Republicans, the freshman class, that was going to change the way Washington worked, and Kreitlow is trying to use that as a weakness, and Duffy still maintains that that's his strength. But Kreitlow says, look, what did Congress do in the past couple of years except to have stalemate and fight and bicker? So I think, you know, the economy is going to be the big issue, jobs the big issue, but I think the way that Washington works or doesn't work, depending on your opinion, will be a big part of the race.
Mm-hmm. I know that you are also watching the 74th Assembly District. Tell us about that.
Well, kind of from afar. I mean, it's John Sendra is registered as the Republican, and Janet Bewley is the two-term Democratic candidate. She's got a really good following. I would be surprised if she would. I don't think that her seat is vulnerable, but, you know, the issue is mining. And some of the letters to the editor that I've seen in the Ashland Daily Press, for instance, accuses her of blowing the mine opportunity and hundreds of jobs, and how, you know, and this fairly strident letters like that. But I don't think that's going to be able to topple her.
We have a caller who I believe has is interested in a district in northwestern Wisconsin. Let's go to Susan in Shell Lake. Hello, Susan.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling about our candidate for the 75th Assembly seat, Stephen Smith, who's running against Roger Rivard, another of the Tea Party people like Sean Duffy, a real strong Sean and Duffy and Rivard are strong Tea Party people. And in fact, I was at the first town hall that Rivard held here in Spooner, where he said that he really didn't want this job, that he'd rather be retired and in Canada fishing with his wife, but sort of like duty calls type of thing. And then they proceed to, in my opinion, hurt Wisconsin. So Stephen Smith is a strong candidate and really out there getting his name known. I think he'll serve us very well.
All right. Thank you, Susan. Can you tell us anything further about that district, Mike?
Well, Stephen Smith is a local, well-known name. He's been around that area for a long time. I've only interviewed him once. He's rather soft-spoken, but whether or not the Tea Party folks who got swept in 2010, Sean Duffy or Roger Rivard and company, get reelected, I think that's the whole million-dollar question for this election. I mean, Sean Duffy has often tried to distance himself in interviews from the Tea Party, saying he's independent and he's willing to vote against even his own Republican Party if need be. But at the same time, he still talks a lot of the Tea Party points, and I guess that would be the case in District 75, too.
Do you see, Mike, that proposed iron ore mine being a dominant issue in the campaigns?
You know, I don't think it's going to have an impact. I mean, like I say, I don't think Janet Buley's seat is up for grabs, and Nick Milroy is running unopposed and Superior as a Democrat, and the Rivard-Stephen Smith race might be an interesting one. It's not a federal issue, so Duffy is not a whole lot that Duffy can talk about. I think this issue isn't going away, but I don't think it's going to be a factor in November.
All right. Any other areas or districts that you're following for us?
Well, it's no. You know, the thing is, for instance, the 74th Assembly District, it's pretty quiet, you know, and I haven't even heard a lot from the 75th, and I think that's probably really good that a lot of the candidates wait until after Labor Day. I think that's when people start to pay attention.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when the TV buys all kick in, too. That's when Duffy is going to start, you know, hitting the Wausau and the Duluth Superior TV markets with ads.
Well, we want to thank you very much for being with us, Mike.
You bet.
Mike Simonson, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Superior. And that's right. The election, the November 6th election, is quite a long ways away. But this is our post-primary edition of the State Capitol Report after last week's primaries. Now we know who's running and what the matchups are going to be. And we talked with all of our Wisconsin Public Radio reporters around Wisconsin to get an idea of what will be the most hotly contested races in November and what the hot issues are going to be for state legislature and Congress here in the state of Wisconsin. So thanks to Mike Simonson, to Maureen McCollum, to Chuck Kornbach, to Rich Kramer, to Patty Murray, and to Glenn Moberg for giving us their reports on the races most important in their regions. And thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There is much more to come. We will be talking about political gaffes coming up in our next hour. Some political gaffes are kind of funny, probably harmless, presumably harmless. Some are not. Some can end political careers. We'll talk about what the difference is. And does Vice President Joe Biden get away with gaffes just because he makes them so often? We'll talk about that as well as we examine political gaffes and the significance of political gaffes coming up after 8 o'clock. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Amanda Magnus, and to Cynthia Schuster for producing this hour. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.